had. You know, there's four key guys that were part of the starting lineup of the final and no longer part of it in terms of Mandzukic, Rakitic, Subasic and Strinic. I think they were good players for them. But they still have quality in Modric and Perisic, Brozovic at Inter Milan, and they've got Vlasic, who's a new, you know, he's an up-and-comer, 23, and had a good season this year scoring goals. So, you know, they're not to be taken lightly. That being said, England are better than they were in 2018, in my opinion. There's more attacking flair that they have than they've ever had, really, with, you know, you look at the season that Phil Foden's had. You look at Jack Grealish, who gives a different dimension. And then you're looking beyond that. You've got Marcus Rashford, Raheem Sterling and Jadon Sancho, who, you know, won the DFB Cup with Borussia Dortmund and had a hell of a season alongside Erling Haaland. So they've got a lot of attacking threat, and you're not even taking into consideration, you know, the Premier League's golden boot winner in Harry Kane. So if they do their job going forward, it's now the only question mark about England is, are they secure enough? Like the Italians showed with Chiellini, Bonucci and the keeper Donnarumma, you've got to have that trifecta of you know, defensive stalwarts. And can Maguire and Stones, and if it's Jordan Pickford as England's number one, can they be that for England? Because if you get that right, the attacking flair, they'll always create or score goals.
So you've got England, Croatia, you've got the Isle of Great Britain represented again in Group D with Scotland and the Czech Republic. What else do we need to know about the group?
Well, do you know what? I always like the home nations. I'm one of those few Englishmen that will like the, you know, whether it's the Welsh, the Irish, the Scots, because they bring a great support. The Tartan Army for the Scottish fans is phenomenal. So hopefully they're able to get out to the crowds and, you know, and fill as much as they can in Hampden Park, because I think that matters to them. And they're playing in a big tournament again, and it's been a long time, I think, since, what, France 98, where they've been in a big tournament. So I think for them, they're playing on house money. They got here through, you know, some penalty kickoffs, penalty shootouts in the qualifiers. So they are playing on house money, and I think they've got some decent players. You look at Andy Robertson at Liverpool, one of the best left-backs in the world. You know, through midfield, Scott McTominay, you know, decent player with Man U. And they got the young talent in Billy Gilmore that's at Chelsea. And, you know, Che Adams is starting to score goals from Southampton with Scotland up top. So yeah, they're not to be messed around with. And I think when they do, you know, play England, it is a derby and anything can happen in those games because, you know, the jocks can raise their game. But I tell you what they've got to do is they've got to pick up points against the Czech. And the Czechs are always organised and they're always a physically intimidating side and always a threat at set plays. They're big, big guys. And you look at Thomas Souček, who's had a great season at West Ham, goal scorer midfielder. He's been dubbed a little bit like the Marouane Fellaini, like David Moyes had at Everton and Man U. Thomas Souček's doing the same thing for him at West Ham. And he's got a goal-scoring threat. He's very tough in the tackle, goes box-to-box. And then Patrick Schick, they have a target man, you know, from Red Bull Leipzig that they can build off of. So it's a tough group. It's not a walk in the park by any means, but I think it should be an exciting one. England should go through. But as we've seen before, you have to be one of the third best qualifying, you know, four out of the six groups have that to go on. So it's about building momentum in the group stages and then get right, you know, pick up steam as it gets the knockout.
Tommy Wealdon Jr. from Cavalry FC is with us on our Euro 2020 report. To Group E we go. You've got a new beginning in a lot of ways for Spain. You've got the star power of Poland. What do we need to know about Group E?
Well, what surprised me is I think this must be one of the first ever Spanish sides that doesn't have a Real Madrid player. I mean, how can you not have a Spain side with a Real Madrid player in it? And they, you know, they only took up the... I think they didn't take their full rota of players, and that surprised me. But, you know, Luis Enrique is a strong-minded manager. He'll do things his way. I think they're on a bit of a rebirth, really, because, you know, they've still got the veteran leadership of Sergio Busquets. They've still got Thiago Alcantara alongside him. Koke's just won the league with Atletico Madrid, so they've got some good ones. There's a player to watch for them that, you know, people dub in like the next Iniesta, and it's a big name to fill, and that's young Pedri. So, you know, if you're watching it and you're thinking, okay, who's the next Spaniard to come along, have a look at that lad. My question mark for the Spanish squad is, have they got enough of a number nine or a goal scorer to really turn them over the edge and be one of the threats versus an also round? Because, you know, in Morata or Moreno, are they the key ones that, you know, can convert the possession that Spain will have into goals? So they're interesting. I think the Polish, any team that has Robert Lewandowski, who I think is one of the best strikers in the world, as half a chance. And, you know, they've got good goalkeeping, solid defenders. But Lewandowski, for me, it's a shame that he didn't get the Ballon d'Or this year, because I think he would have been the one that would have, you know, taken the duopoly of Messi and Ronaldo and taken it, because, you know, he scored a 40-plus goal season in the Bundesliga, and that's no mean feat.
And then finally to Group F we go, and whether it's World Cup or whether it's Euro, as soon as the group draws come out, the first thing everybody does is look for the group of death. And you have to go all the way down the line, but there you've got France, Germany, and Portugal all in the same group with Hungary. Tommy, Group F is your group of death in 2021.
Group F, group of death. And I say, if you're going to root for the underdogs, you're going to root for Hungary in that one, aren't you?
No kidding.
Because that's the one you go with. I mean, fair play to them now, because if they get points off any of them, they could end up qualifying as, you know, a third best place finish. They've just got to pick up points, you know. Easier said than done. I think they're in tough because, you know, as much as Germans struggled in their qualifying, and, you know, the North Macedonia result will be remembered for years, but they're on a bit of a rebirth, and you never rule the Germans out. They are fantastic in tournament competition. Still one of the best goalies in the world, Daniel Neuer. You look now, you've got players that are playing well for their clubs, and Rudiger's a Chelsea Champions League. You've got Matt Tummels, the veteran leadership at the back. But you've also got a quality midfield in Gundogan of City, Eric Chan, you know, Joshua Kimmich, midfield. Fullback, you know, one of their legends of the game, Thomas Muller. Like, Thomas Muller's great, and around him there's Hayson, Gnabry, Sane, Havertz, Werner. I mean, they're still a star-studded team, so I wouldn't buy too much being done. Strongest squad in there. They're just, they've got players of the right age and stage. They've got, you know, game changers in Mbappe and Griezmann. They've brought in Karim Benzema again out from the cold. Kingsley Coman is a player that probably doesn't get the celebrity as much as he has, but I think in his 7 or 8 professional years, he's won a league in every single professional season he's had, which is just ridiculous. Pace and power at the back. A lot of quality and good goalkeeping in Hugo Lloris. I mean, they're class. And then you keep going into, and they're the World Cup winners. You know, they're the holders. And then you look at Portugal, and Portugal, you know, keep getting stronger and stronger. So that is going to be a fantastic round robin tournament. But I think you'll see all three go through. Hungary, unfortunately, I don't think have got enough to take the points, and then it'll be into the knockout rounds.
Tommy, you're just over 2 weeks away from your opening match with Cavalry in CPL play when your squad takes on York United at IG Field in Winnipeg. We've got Euro going on right now. It's a good time for football. It's awesome to chat with you. As always, we'll talk a little bit more Cavalry as we go forward on these hits, and we'll have lots to sink our teeth into on Monday with plenty of group play games and matches behind us. Thanks for doing this as always.
No worries, Pat. Cheers.
Tommy Wheeldon Jr., Cavalry FC, and that is our Euro 2020 report.
The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. The stunning 2022 QX55 is here. Lease for $299 semi-monthly with $4,995 down on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane. The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. The stunning 2022 QX55 is here. Lease for $299 semi-monthly with $4,995 down on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
And our Euro Report features Tommy Wheeldon Jr. from Cavalry FC twice a day with Pinder and then with us on the big show as well. Tommy, we were texting earlier and it was a tactical match as Euro is now officially underway between Italy and Turkey. It went from a tactical match to a pretty wide open match pretty quickly as Italy would go on to win by 3.
I think it was a really good start to any tournament because I think the first half just showed that, you know, there's always going to be an element of caginess because Turkey wanted to be very, very defensive disciplined. They tried to nullify the space behind them for Italy, and, you know, Italy were trying to be patient and play through. And usually you don't see many Italian sides dominate the possession as much as they did, but they were relentless. And as soon as they had one opportunity in the second half, I thought they were great then breaking them down. And then that opened up Turkey a little bit. I mean, they were just too much. I loved watching Italy and the way they built out with Bonucci and Chiellini, the two centre-backs. They were rocks at the back. And I mean, when Chiellini's fist pumping in the 89th minute to protect their, what, ninth clean sheet in a row, it just shows the mentality of them going into it. And that's why I dubbed them a bit of, you know, an outside bet, because they weren't being talked about prior to the tournament. But now you can see why, that they've got more to their game than just being defensive stalwarts. Because, you know, when Turkey tried to start, you know, man-marking Jorginho, who's the, you know, the playmaker, if you will, they dropped in, you know, Locatelli alongside him to get on the ball. And then that opened up space for Insigne and Immobile and behind. And it paid dividends, because both of the latter names end up scoring and making it very comfortable in the end.
Well, and I know that a lot of people looked at Group A and said, ooh, I mean, you've got some top 20 teams in there with Wales and the Swiss. And it's, okay, well, Italy needs a good start to Euro to kind of cement themselves. And, geez, a misstep against Turkey could really hurt them. That, from an Italian side, like, the Azzurri have to be pretty happy with the way their opening match turned out, for not just the result, but going forward in group play.
Yeah, definitely. Because actually, I think, you know, when Turkey went in that half, they went, great, you know, we've nullified them. They haven't made too many in close range shots. We've kept them at bay. And I think they tried to be clever themselves and bringing on Ando, who's a bit of a speed merchant on the outside. And in doing so, it encouraged them to open up a little bit more in the attack. And by doing so, then Italy's quality came to the fore. And, you know, Turkey undid themselves. But I loved, like I said, loved the way that Italy played. And also, I think their counter-press really suffocated Turkey. So, you know, Turkey couldn't connect three or four passes in a row. And it was just relentless from Italy. So, you know, and the scary thing is, I think they've got another layer to go, because, you know, when you're bringing Immobile and Insigne off, and you're bringing on Belotti and Chiesa as well, who are also good players, you know, it puts them in good stead for the rest of the tournament.
So Euro is officially underway. Italy with a 3-0 win over Turkey to open it up. Three more matches tomorrow. Group A and Group B both in action in group play tomorrow. We're with Tommy Wheeldon Jr. from Cavalry FC. He is our Euro 2020 analyst. And yesterday we went through the first three groups. Tommy, we went through Group A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. Well, let's continue it along. And let's take a look at Group D. And for so many, Group D is all about two teams, and the fact that come Sunday morning, they will meet one another. England and Croatia in the same group. These two teams had a dramatic semifinal match at the 2018 World Cup. That's what everyone has their eye on when it comes to Group D.
Well, what's interesting about that is a, you know, replay of the 2018 semifinal where, you know, Croatia were the rightful winners. I thought they tactically and technically got the semi-final right. You know, from the English press and the English fans that I know, and myself being one of them, you look at the 1-0 and Kane squaring it to Sterling, puts him into 2-0, and maybe it's a different game, but that's the game. Is, you know, you've got to take the chances when you have them. I think from that Croatia squad, it's one of the best they've